Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, overcast, rainy, and cold. Woohoo! Well, it's not that cold, but still, it's not a beautiful day in the neighborhood today. I'm sorry about that. And there's bad storms. Just taking a quick look at the News Radio ThreatNet radar. It's all along the Gulf. Like, it's right on the waterline, right along the sand, all the way over to Corpus Christi. And just off of Mobile, we're showing some rotation over the water. So, and that's kind of like not quite here, but coming this way. So just be aware that that's operating this morning and throughout the day today. We've got Mayor D.C. Reeves on the line. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So I think the big topic of the day is probably the airport and the concerns about what's going to be happening with the TSA new requirement that people use real ID. Something like 19%, I'm told, of travelers do not have real ID. That's one in five. And they're not going to be turned away, but they're going to get a little bit of enhanced screening, whatever that means. But that's still a pretty big wrinkle if 20% of your people are going to have to spend more time in line, right?
Yeah, and most of our conversation, you know, when folks have asked me about it, you know, what does this mean for me? They've been giving out these real IDs for quite a while now, so I'd hate to misquote the exact number. But for many, many months and years, if you've gotten your ID renewed or replaced, it will be a real ID. So that's why 81%, 82%, whatever right. That number is, you know, have it already. So there's a very, very good chance if you're waking up this morning and saying, oh, shoot, do I have that? There's a very good chance you already do, which you could really tell by the star on your on your license. But yeah, obviously, we're going to do everything we can. You know, we want everybody to have a good travel experience. And, you know, this is a rule happening everywhere. This is not a Pensacola, Florida rule, obviously. You know, we're going to try to navigate this the best we can to get everybody on the new technology that is needed for our increased sense and for security. But, you know, we want to try to keep everybody happy. So, yes, we'll do everything that we can. But check your ID this morning. Do us a favor. And if you don't have the right one, to get down to the tax collector's office wherever you can get your license renewed.
Well, as somebody who's had to go twice recently to the tax collector's office to get something done, let me just say, good luck. it's not always smooth. I love Scott Lunsford. He does a good job. He's dealing with some software things right now that do not make life better for everybody. One of the things on the agenda for next week is this Vision Zero. And, you know, I guess it's a Casey Jones proposal. It's the buzzword around the nation, feds, state, local. The TPO talks about this. I have said this before. I'll say it again. I'm willing to be the bad guy. I think Vision Zero is crazy, and here's why. We are never going to really implement public policy around the idea of having zero fatalities, pedestrian or cars, because we could do it if we make the speed limit 20 miles an hour everywhere, and we're not willing to do it because there are, you know, efficiency, speed, convenience are also factors that we need to keep in mind. And as a result of that, you know, we could put limiters on all the cars and make them can't go over 20 miles an hour, but we're not going to do that. And so then what?
Yeah, listen, and I think, first of all, let's just talk whether we make this designation a council, which I certainly expect that we will, Councilman Jones sponsoring it, you know, what tactics do we have in place? What are we doing as a city to increase pedestrian and bicycle safety? I would put our 2.5-year record up against just about anybody's in terms of whether it's the Sun Trail, whether it's narrowing lanes on Palo Fox, whether it's Hollis T. Williams. Certainly we have made significant efforts to increase accessibility and safety,
right.
No doubt about it. I don't think you're going to have any mayor ever get on here unless they own a car dealership maybe or a car company, you know, that's going to ever be say, you know, I'm a Vision 1 guy or a Vision 5 guy. I think we all agree.
That's a great phrase. That, yeah, you're right. Nobody's going to be like, I'm Vision 10, you know, 10 deaths a year is acceptable. Right.
Yeah.
I get it.
But I understand, and listen, advocates of this and Councilman Jones, not only do I understand the philosophical advocacy around increased safety, I think we're walking the walk at the city, certainly. And so, you know, we want to do everything that we can to increase public safety, period, whether that's our police department, whether that's on the streets. And we know that the issues that it causes. Red light cameras left out another significant one in terms of pedestrian and bicycle safety and traffic safety. So So, you know, we'll continue to do what we do. You know, again, I expect our council, this is, you know, their resolution. I expect that they'll pass that. And then we'll keep, you know, chugging along, trying to make everything as safe as possible for everybody.
Yeah. And look, I'm all for vision fewer, but as you know, everything we do to reduce a problem creates another problem, mainly cost. It's just kind of what you're hinting at, is that all of these things carry costs. And it's one of those rare cases where I really agree with Larry Downs Jr. He's like, we say, you know, if it saves just one life, well, we're not going to do public policy that way, because there are a lot of things that could, you know, save a life, but are way too cost prohibitive to make it worth the doing of it. That's the reality. One of the things that I notice about the agenda for next week is it's super bland, which is a compliment. I mean, the meetings have been boring. Is there anything on there you want to highlight that I've missed? Anything that I'm failing to see the significance of?
No, I mean, not necessarily. I think from a newsworthy standpoint, you know, the CR, getting that project in under the wire where the you know, the developers needed it at Hawkshaw, you know, that not third time's the charm. I believe seventh time is the charm. Yeah. Finally at Hawkshaw, I think we've got some light at the end of the tunnel. We've got a motivated investor with the capital to get this done. To bring some more housing. And this is my weekly or monthly reminder on your show, Andrew, every type of housing is valuable to us right now, every type. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's market rate. I don't care if it's affordable. We have a housing supply crisis. And so getting more units online leads to more affordability across the board. So we're happy to kind of see that. And that was not easy. We had to hack through a long meeting on Monday as they tried to hit a 1031 deadline on the developer side, but we got that done. So very excited for that. And yeah, you know, Andrew.
And by the way, can I pause you for just a second? Because in case people don't know, Hawkshaw is between the Veterans Memorial Park and the new hotel. The hotel, which just popped up all of a sudden, and the Hawkshaw's still not been turned ground yet. But like, that's the property you're talking about, and that's, as you say, it's been in the works for a long time. No, but people don't know, that's all. You were going to say.
Yeah. And so, you know, but, you know, I would say council meetings go in ebbs and flows. You know, you'll have one that has lots of procedural things, very small logistical things like we have this time, which means, you know, all of our hardworking staff that's been working all day gets to go, you know, have dinner with their family. And then there's ones where they absolutely know they're not going to go have dinner with their family when you've got two or three major issues of public interest and all of that. And so that's just part of the gig. So, you know, a little softer touch this meeting.
Hey, short meetings are good. I don't mind that. That saves me time. I have a question. I do not know the answer to this. I feel kind of dumb for not knowing, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I think people have it. The governor either has last night or will today, I figure, sign the fluoride ban, part of the agriculture bill that he's going to sign, SB 700. Does city water, is it provided by the city? Is it provided by ECUA? And are you... I mean, is it fluoridated right now? Like, I don't know the answer to any of these questions, and I feel like I should.
Yeah, it's all water, and I don't remember when the transaction took place. I believe there was a day at one point where the city did have control over its own water system, but then that had gone to ECUA. I don't know how far back that was. It's been many years. It wasn't 3 years ago or 5 years ago. And so, yeah, all water is with ECUA. So anybody out there, whether you're in the city or county, Pensacola Energy, which is owned by the city, is your natural gas bill. And then, of course, we got the port, the airport.
Right.
And then we have sanitation for just inside the city limits.
Okay. No, that makes sense. That's why I was curious if it's going to mean an elimination of an existing thing, fluoridation, which it will be because it's ECUA water.
No.
Very good. You guys, one of the sort of semi-controversies that came up recently, it seems to come up all the time, every year, is the question of the tax abatement or exemption for the Escambia Children's Trust, about $500,000 for the county, which, if it's in the CRA, money can be used for infrastructure, parks and cameras and lights, and if it's not, it has to be used for programs, and they're on the path towards finding a solution, which I think is an okay solution. They kept saying that, you know, well, it's not really fair for us to have to do this. The city can't get their act together and hasn't come to an agreement yet, but that's not quite accurate. Yes, you haven't signed a deal, but you're planning on it and you have a meeting coming up, right?
Exactly. So, no, we've intended and we've made our intentions known for well over a year, actually, including to the county, that this is what we plan on going the route of a shared MOU. I think if you are an economic development in this community and you had a genie lamp and you got one wish, it would be to improve our education system, period.
Amen.
That's what it would be. And the floodgates that would open of opportunity for job opportunity, for housing opportunity, but we have such a hindrance, and we've all got amazing teachers, amazing principals that work in this county, but that's just generationally been something that's really held us back from a quality of life standpoint, an education standpoint, and certainly from a workforce standpoint, a job and economic development opportunity standpoint. So this is one of those things you've heard me say all the time, Andrew. It's easy to say as the mayor of the city, this isn't our job, and to say education's not our job, but it better be. If we want this community to be what it needs to be, it better be my job. And I flew halfway across the country and back in one day yesterday to go look at a charter school up in Wisconsin. And May 28th, we're getting all of the child care experts. I'm so gracious and appreciative of their time to come up. We have the head of the Children's Trust from Miami-Dade County coming, including their Early Learning Coalition head from Miami-Dade. So this will be a great large collection. We have people who run daycares in the city. It's a diverse group of people, and I'm asking them to help us diagnose what we can do with these funds and with additional resources from the city for us to increase child care access in the city of Pensacola. And so, you know, this has to be our job. If we want this community to thrive, we've got to increase child care access across the board, from low income to parents that I know that sleep in church parking lots because they can't find because they need to get a seat and pay full price for it.
Right.
So we've got a problem to solve. And that's why I believe this money with the taxpayers voted on this money for service. That's what they asked for, is to improve the quality of education, and that's what I intend to do with the money.
Absolutely. No, I love that. And that's looking at what's a hindrance, what's impairing or impeding educational progress, especially for our poorest citizens, and let's see how we can use the Escambia Children's Trust money with the city to make that happen. And I love the open-mindedness of let's bring in the experts and let's figure out what they recommend we do, and let's do that instead of coming up with a plan and imposing it on, you know, the experts and trying to get their buy-in after the fact. So that's all good governance. I appreciate that. We always like to end with actually, just real quick, are you still looking at a charter school? Because you kind of mentioned that in conjunction with going to Wisconsin or whatever. Is that still on the table? Is that something you're trying to do? Where is that at?
It's really more of a long game. With Baptist Hospital, you know, the only thing I would even say committed to is a strong word, but basically Baptist Hospital having the vision of that purpose-built community where it's mixed-income housing anchored by education.
Okay.
So that's my interest right now. It's really the long game. It's not but what are our opportunities to partner with our local universities, the school district? What's the right way to go increase education at Baptist in the long term?
So at that property particularly, that makes perfect sense. Okay, that makes perfect sense. All right, well, I'd like to end with a bit of the lightning round, silly, ridiculous, or just in our case, fun. What's the best cracker? What's your favorite cracker?
Oh, man. You know what? That's tough. Yeah, I've always been a Triscuit guy.
Yeah, love the Triscuit. They're durable.
Yeah,
they're hearty.
Yeah,
you feel like a grown-up for eating them, you know? Like your grandmother would be proud of you.
They might actually fill you up instead of just all the empty calories.
That's true. Speaking of feeling like a grown-up, do you feel like a grown-up as the mayor of the city? Or do you still feel like, man, I'm supposed to feel more adult than I am?
Some of my constituents who are unhappy with me always keep me young because they'll make some subliminal message about how young I am, and I actually take it as a compliment.
Nice.
Now. I'm like, well, man, I am 41. I mean, I'm not a kid anymore. But thank you I think people maybe think that I'm younger than I am. Maybe I'm wearing good makeup or something.
Nice. Last one for this part. Name a massively popular TV show that you just never watched a single episode of.
Oh man! Game of Thrones. That's the one that
okay.
I think of all the
right.
time.
Very good.
It got too far out. Too many seasons. I don't have that time commitment. I gave up. I never even gave it a shot.
And actually, it's kind of funny. It's something you and I were going to talk about. We didn't get a chance to, and we've only got like 30 seconds maximum. But somebody texted in. Can you ask them about Bay Bluffs? And I know you have some news.
Yeah. So it's stuck in no man's land between DEP and Conservation Florida. It's their grant that they helped us get. So I've been calling our lobbyists actually in Tallahassee this week to try to unfurl that. So ball's not in our court yet, but we're aggressively trying to get it in our court so we can get this going finally. But the money is still there, and we're trying to work through it.
Perfect. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for calling back in after your phone shut off on you. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.